have a book at home that I've read two or three times now, not because I'm such a slow learner, but because every time I read it, something different kind of pops out from it. It's one of the best books on spirituality I've ever read. It's something called The Divine Conspiracy by Dallas Willard. There is a place early in the book where he talks about kind of what he's going to outline in the book, and he gives this quote. He says, "Does Jesus only enable me to make the cut when I die? It is good to know that when I die, all will be well, but is there any good news for life?" And then he says, "If I had to choose, I would rather have a car that runs than good insurance on one that doesn't. Can I not have both?" I often wonder if that question of whether we have to forfeit joyful life now for eternal life later keeps people from exploring religion. They have to wonder, is that it? I mean, so many traditions, so many preachers focus on what you have to do to make the cut at the end, to go to heaven, to be with Jesus at the end. And at least in my case, it always made me wonder, then why does God give us this life on earth if it's nothing more than an insurance policy on a car that never takes us anywhere? I wonder, did the woman at the well wonder about such questions? She said to Jesus, "When Messiah comes, he will proclaim all things to us." I wonder what she thought salvation would mean for her. I wonder what she thought that she might be saved for. Would she have anything joyful in this life? Or did she just have to wait till the end of life, till the Messiah saved her? What promise did this human life hold for her? To what and for what would she be saved? There's a place elsewhere in the Gospel of John, in the 10th chapter, where Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So Jesus, the Messiah, came to earth in the flesh that we might have life and have it abundantly, not just so we can earn our way to the afterlife, but so that we can have abundant life now. Jesus, the Messiah, came to the woman at the well that she might have her insurance, but also have the possibility of a car that runs. The promise to her and to all who do not seem to succeed in this life is this from Jesus: "I bring you life, and not a life where you have to keep your head down and hope that no one knows your story, your flaws, your mistakes, your fears." This woman, one who had, you feel like she had been beaten down by society, and she was astounded at this encounter. She told everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" What is she saying? She's saying, salvation is for me now? That something can happen now that's better? She's saying, "You mean I can assuage my thirst now in a way that will make unnecessary these furtive, embarrassing trips to the well over and over and over again?" Until that time, I suspect she thought that the most she could hope for was good insurance. Did she dare ask if she might also have a car that gets her somewhere in this life? She said it just disbelievingly. "He cannot be the Messiah, can he? He knows me. He knows what I have done, how I have failed, and he still offers me the water which will prevent my having to go over and over and over again to the well in shame and humiliation." Now, something that may help you see this story in a different light is that in the Hebrew scriptures, when you read, very often when you read a story of an encounter at a well, it's an encounter of a future husband and wife. There is a type scene that very often in the Old Testament, there are people who meet at the well that would become husband and wife later. This happens with Moses. It happens with Saul. It happens with Abraham's servant on behalf of Isaac. It happens with Jacob and Rachel. And here we are in the New Testament, in these stories where everyone knew the stories of the Hebrew scriptures. And we have Jesus meeting a woman at the well. This woman previously had five husbands, and now she's with someone else. So if you look at the type scene, that generally a meeting of a man and a woman at the well is future spouses, is a future husband and wife, and then you see Jesus meeting this woman at the well, what does the story tell us as seen through that framework? I think it tells us that this relationship is different from the five or six that have gone before. This well is different. It means we don't have to keep returning day after day to human wells. We no longer have to keep trying the same stale water, wondering why the thirst never goes away. No wonder this beleaguered woman said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water." When we become frustrated in our human lives with even the best of human beings, and we see this in the story of the Israelites with Moses today, we needn't start murmuring about our lack of access to this well, our lack of access to God. We can go directly to God. We can meet God directly as this woman did, because Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection gave us that direct access. In Matthew, in the story of the crucifixion, Matthew writes, "At that moment of when Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city." We have direct access to God because of Jesus. So if we embrace, accept, invite the Messiah, we no longer need to feel so beaten down by the troubles on earth. We no longer need to think that we have to live this perfect and good and moral life as a ticket to the afterlife. When we encounter Jesus directly, we begin to think of life as immediate access to God. We no longer need to go to the well day after day after human day. Jesus has come to be with the woman at the well, to be with us. Jesus brings us this water now and says, not only will that help us now, but it means we will never be thirsty again. Jesus can tell us everything we have ever done. All mistakes, all failures, all times when we have been so paralyzed by fear that we could not even do what we knew to be right. He knows everything we have done, and yet he waits patiently at the well, asking us for a drink of water. He lets us decide if we will choose eternity now by loving God and loving other human beings. Jesus offers us direct access to God, not only if we live a good enough life and when we die, but now and here. Jesus, the Messiah, came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus, the Messiah, knowing what we have done and left undone, offers us eternity now, offers us water now that means we will never face thirst again. Never again will we have to make that humiliating, debilitating trip to the well. Never again will we have to rely on human relationships and material things to define us and to make our life worthwhile. Never again will we have to live in fear, hoping against hope that we will make the cut when we die. Jesus is here now, ready to meet us at the well, ready to tell us everything we have done, and ready to love us anyway. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? You mean we don't have to trade abundant life for eternal life? You mean we can have both insurance and a car that runs? Sir, give me this water. please, now. Amen.